Okay, in closing, coming up November 15th, A Passion for Privacy with Spy Chips author Catherine Albrecht. And she's been part of filming a new DVD, Shadow Government, which will be our movie. Very, very much worth getting and watching. We will be off for Thanksgiving on November 22nd, but we will be back on November 29th with John Rappaport. John Rappaport is going to be recording The Covert Engineering of Information. And then December 6th, a very important Salier Report. Mark your calendars. Chuck Gibson, Melanie Paleo, the team at Sealand Advisory with me, will be doing one on your taxes in 2013. Given what's happened with the election and how fluid tax policy is with the fiscal cliff, I think that's really important. A lot of people are going to be looking hard at whether or not they take investment gains or do other things. So until November 15th, when we're back with Catherine Albrecht next week, please don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck. Okay, so for those of you who want to hear the first 8 minutes of the Salier Report, unfortunately, I apologize, one of our computers froze. And so you got music for the first 8 minutes. Obviously, when we put up the MP3 file tonight or tomorrow, the first 8 minutes will be recorded, so you'll have it there. But let me just do it again and now for those who want to get it tonight. So are you ready? Here we go. Good evening. Welcome to the Salier Report. Today is November 8th, 2012. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. I'm speaking to you from the Amsterdam area in Holland, where I'm surrounded by physicists and engineers. I'm attending and speaking at the Global Breakthrough Energy Conference. The link to access the live stream will be up on the blog starting tomorrow, where you can link to it from the blog. And so if you want to be part of the conversation, you can. From the conversations I've already had at dinner tonight and our meetings this evening, it's a reminder that the technology is available to radically reduce our energy and healthcare costs. This stuff really does exist. Scientists and engineers can add dramatically to our general welfare if they're permitted. Of course, they haven't been permitted. The question has been, what are the political obstacles and how do we get them to change? But the possibility is there. And in theory, it's one of the most exciting things that could be happening in the next 4 years. I'm always saying there's a world that's being born. There's a world that's dying and there's a world that's being born. And if you spend time looking at the world that's being born, actually, there's a lot of very exciting things going on. Other upcoming events, I'll be flying back to California on Monday. And then on November 14th, we have the last of four Financial Salons for Changing Time in Santa Cruz. I would encourage you to come out. Those have been wonderful discussions. And then December 1st, we'll have our next subscribers luncheon. The whole Salieri team will be in Murfreesboro outside of Nashville, Tennessee. If you click on the Lunch with Catherine on the blog, you can sign up. We need you to sign up because we need an accurate account. Tonight, Precious Metals Market Report with Franklin Sanders. Check out the slides on the webinar software. We have slides running so that you can tell what different section we're in as we go. And then Franklin has sent us a lot of charts for the gold and silver discussion, and those charts are not on the webinar software. They're on the blog post in the subscriber-only space. So log into the blog and definitely check out the charts that we've posted for this evening's discussion. Our theme tonight is Arise When the Storm Passes and Rebuilds. It's a reference to a new commentary I have. It's short, sweet, up on the blog. It's called Yea, Though I Walk Through the Valley of the Shadow of Death, and it's a reference to the events around Hurricane Sandy. We've had multiple storms, not just Hurricane Sandy and the continuing storms in the tri-state area, but also we've had the European and U.S. fiscal cliffs, and I would describe the presidential campaign as absolutely a storm rolling over us. Money and markets, I like to start with good news. The good news is McDonald's sales are down. So some might say, well, that's because of the economy. I'm hoping that Americans have decided that given the economic woes, they can't afford to eat food that's not food. The other good news is the election is over. The election, in my opinion, was a very depressing experience. The majority of voters were once again tricked into ignoring local elections and the issues really important to them, and sucked into spending enormous amounts of time and attention and money on a presidential election, only to wake up the day after with a serious case of dread about what's next. The symptoms of voter fraud were quite significant, with the latest report of significant military absentee ballots not arriving in time to be counted. So I guess you know where the Pentagon stood on this. My read is that Obama won the election in late July at the Bohemian Grove. If you look at QE3 and the financial aspects of Hurricane Sandy, those things would have had to be decided with high-level consensus in the summer. I think several things won Obama the nod for Mr. Global. First of all, he's given Mr. Global everything he wanted and more. If you look at Panetta and the Department of Defense and sort of the Vatican interests behind them, they're in the catbird seat. There's no need to rock the boat. You have a lot going on right now. If you have a turnover between an incumbent and a new administration coming in, there's a lot of time lost and a lot of money and risk from the turnover, especially because with a new guy having done whatever you wanted him to do, why take the risk of moving into a new guy? I think the a Romney presidency, there was going to be greater chance of what I call the Minionite thing happening, not just domestically, but globally. Finally, Romney, I believe, said no to George Shultz et al. At the Grove, who were promoting Condoleezza Rice as a potential vice president candidate. If you're doing what the American Empire is doing with war and genocide around the world, it's good to have a black or brown face on the front of that machine. Romney's just the wrong look to put in front of launching drones all over the world in America. People are much more inclined to balk. The majority of the population is going to be much more complacent with Obama, who is somebody who looks more like them. Given the pain that's being caused by the American Empire, Obama is a what I would call a velvet face to an iron fist. The other thing I thought was very telling, and we talked about it on the Saleri Report at the time, and it was around the, I believe it's about the time of the Grove. The Financial Times poll of money managers globally felt that the markets would do significantly better under Obama. So I think in part it was a style choice. It's what I call the Ninja Turtles versus the Lone Rangers. Obama's a much more collaborative, global kind of character, whereas Romney's much more from the Lone Ranger style. The other thing, it's a color choice. White voters are declining as a percent of the voting population. And so you have Hispanic rising, you have African-American rising, you have Asian rising. And I think that Romney just didn't reach out. The Republicans haven't reached out and been a more inclusive group. One of the things that was very positive, good news coming out of the election, is that entrainment technology and subliminal programming and its use in political applications has now gone mainstream. I had pointed out to me by one subscriber that Doonesbury by Gary Trudeau in the syndicated column comic strip has last week had several people lying around in their house talking about the election. A truck goes by promoting the Romney campaign. They start talking about how much they hate Romney. Suddenly a beam flies out of the little sort of van driving around the neighborhood. Everybody gets this wonky look on their face and suddenly starts talking about they can't remember what they were talking about. And they start holding their head and saying, "Dear God." So it's quite amazing when this stuff gets into the comic strips, but at least that's one good news coming out of the election. Elizabeth Warren won in Massachusetts. That adds one sane financial voice to the U.S. Senate. The interesting thing is the reason the banks now have to contend with Senator Warren is because they did everything they could to stop her from being appointed to the head of the consumer agency. I'm sure she's going to be much more effective and have more power as a senator. So that's some good news. California approved Governor Brown's tax plan for the schools. That was one of the referendums. Unfortunately, they said no to Proposition 37, which was the effort to get GMO labeling. That's too bad. Puerto Rico voted to become a state. It doesn't mean they're going to become a state, but the process is moving whereby they could end up with statehood or changing their legal status. Okay, there's the first 8 minutes. If you have held on, ladies and gentlemen, again, good night and good luck.